You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Wednesday, May the 29th, and we're talking about Romeo Langford today. This is your boy, Matt Shook, a sports writer here in Detroit City, covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News. Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Today we're going to talk a little bit more about the news on Tuesday from the Pistons front office. I've got, it's kind of struck a nerve with me a little bit in terms of what's going on with the front office. And there's more questions than answers about this front office right now, especially as we consider the fact that we're about, you know, 1 year into it. We're about 10, 11 months into this front office being hired and really not much to show for it at all. We're also going to talk about Romeo Langford and hear from him from the NBA Draft Combine a couple weeks ago in Chicago as we continue our profiles of 13 players the Pistons just might take in the NBA Draft. This would be our third one of that series that we hopefully will try to bust out all of them before the June 2020th draft. It's going to be a little bit of a sprint, but we'll see if we can get that done. Today we're going to also give my NBA Finals predictions and why about the Toronto Raptors and Golden State Warriors, who will tussle starting on Thursday. I'm not sure if we'll have a show tomorrow for Thursday. We will have one more show this week, but not sure if it's going to be Thursday or Friday. Just a busy time for your boy these days with the Lions going, with minor league baseball going, and all the other projects I'm working on as well. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons Dash Matt Shook. But today's show is brought to you in part by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com, be there, do that, get rewarded. And as we pass along at the tail end of Tuesday's show, it's kind of breaking news as I was taping it actually on Tuesday late morning. The Pistons lost a member of their front office on Tuesday in Sachin Gupta, the much ballyhooed analytics guru. I like the word ballyhooed, by the way. He was an assistant general manager for the Pistons in their, their strange organizational chart that they have there in Auburn Hills. The Gupta is going to be going to Minnesota to a team with former Houston co-worker Gersan Rosas, who's pretty much running the show there for the Timberwolves now. He's a Daryl Morey disciple in Houston, as is Gupta, by the way. So Gupta will be the executive vice president of basketball operations in Minnesota. Now, maybe that's a big raise. Maybe working for a familiar face and a mentor in Rosas was a huge key for Sachin. Maybe he believed more in the organization that Gersan will make over there. It's hard to know if this is an upgrade or a promotion in the organizational tree. And I think the Pistons are to blame for that. Like I said, this is an organization where you still don't have a team president or a general manager. Ed Stefanski last summer, after Stan Van Gundy was fired, we were told that he was going to set up the structure of the front office. And apparently Ed Stefanski went into a bunker for a couple weeks and decided that, you know what, I got a great idea for how to give the organization some structure here in Detroit, and that's just to give me all the power. So in his brilliant quest of finding out how the best way to serve the Pistons organization and owner Tom Gores was, he decided that he was the guy that should make all decisions. So with all that power in 10 months, and or maybe closer to 11 months now, the Pistons apparently will make no moves, ride it all out, talk publicly about how they're hamstrung by the cap, preserve their jobs for as long as possible without making any bold moves. And then when they get some cap room, maybe maybe next summer, then you'll get another 2 years or so after that before you can be judged about how the personnel moves kind of came together. So you get really 4 years of not really any accountability. So, hey, not bad. Everyone's cashing checks and good times for the front office members in Pistons land. So I've said it all along, and I know this is probably not the most popular take. I think that what the Pistons are doing now is the worst course of action. As I look at this team, I don't see a team building for the future, and I don't see a team trying to win now. I think that the best course of action this summer is to take one of those two extremes. You either trade Blake Griffin at the height of his value for what the next 3 years of the contract will be, given that he's coming off of an all-NBA season, or on Andor, Andre Drummond, maybe get what you can to start up a rebuild and try to build this thing for, you know, 2-3 years down the road, or make a swing and try to improve this current roster by seeing what you can get maybe this summer for some of these expiring deals. If teams want to clear cap for next summer, they covet maybe Reggie Jackson or John Luehr, or don't see those deals as bad as maybe some organizations would. Go trade for a Mike Conley or some other aging or aged star and see if you can replicate the lightning in the bottle trade that you did for Blake Griffin on a guy who wasn't as high a value as maybe his upside talent was for this coming season or two. Get better this year and next, up until Blake's contract is off the books after 3 seasons from now. And if it doesn't work, hey, at least you tried. Pack it up and then go full rebuild after that in 2 or 3 seasons. Now, with Gupta leaving, you know, if I want to take some unnecessary, probably pot shots at some of our analytics brethren, you wonder if that kind of move would be made by like a Malik Rose, leaving after 1 year after not really accomplishing anything in that one spot. Malik Rose, of course, being someone who's more of a competitor, more of a guy interested in being part of a team, more of a player, more of an athlete, as opposed to maybe someone who sees himself strictly as a commodity and goes to the highest bidder across the league. And again, probably an unfair shot, given we don't know exactly the ins and out of what Gupta accomplished, what he had tried to accomplish, what he was allowed to accomplish, and what is really going on with the front office with the Pistons, where more questions than answers, like I said. But if it does feel like a former athlete might see themselves as part of a team that's building something. Now, again, that could be pretty cheap on my part. We don't know the ins and outs, but it really rubs me the wrong way when someone comes in, gets a nice six-figure salary, and is supposed to be kind of a signaled shift for a change in philosophy for the front office and the organization, and is gone in 10 months after not helping to usher in any kind of significant move. Now, the truth could be that Gupta felt marginalized and wasn't being heard in the front office. Maybe he saw himself as the token analytics guy, because that's something that's going on too throughout sports, because every, you know, professional sports front office has to hire some analytics folks to kind of keep up with the Joneses, tell their fans that they're ushering themselves into the modern age. But yet, sometimes, probably often, when it comes down to it, their voices really aren't heard when it's decision time. Now, what's going on with the Pistons? I guess we'll never know. But it is frustrating to sit on the outside like we are and kind of try to think about analyzing and judging this front office by saying, well, you know, Bruce Brown and Kyrie Thomas seem like they were decent second-round picks. And the Bullock and Stanley Johnson trades showed a little bit of forward thinking, but, you know, actually, you know, hurt the team this year. So really not, you can't give those moves A pluses, especially when considering that Thon Maker doesn't appear to be someone who's a serious building block for a team going future. So still going nowhere. And the beat goes on for the Pistons right now as some frustrating news pops up on Tuesday from the front office waiver wire, so to speak. But up next, we're going to hear from a potential future Piston in Romeo Langford of IU. And also want to tell you about Himalaya. It's free. It's super easy to use. It's an app that has every single podcast that you love and are searching for. You know this podcast, so obviously you have great taste in podcasts. You want to find some other ones, and we can help you out with that with the Himalaya podcasting app. You can use the app to like and comment. Listeners can give a thumbs up and comment on individual episodes so the folks like me can know whether you like what we're talking about, and you can be engaged in the whole podcasting world. And when you get in your car, please go ahead and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Pistons.
Yes, sir!
Have you, how many teams have you met with or interviewed with to this point, or roughly?
Roughly about 13 teams.
Have you met with the Heat? Have you been one of them?
No, sir.
And when you go into those sessions and people look at your year you had this year and the uneven play by the team, sort of how do you explain to them of who you really are and, more importantly, who you can be?
I'm a scorer, and I feel like I've showed that many times throughout my career, whether high school or college. And I think the main thing I want guys to realize is that how much passion I have for the game, how much love I have for the game, how I actually have, you know, the way I carry myself.
what would you say your elite skills are in your skill set? If you had to pick one or two things to tell a team, if you draft me, I can do this as well.
I'd just say scoring the ball, be able to defend multiple positions.
And are there any NBA players you tried, I'm going to say, you can emulate or sort of model your game after who might those be?
I feel like in the league right now, I feel like I can do the same job as him. There's a Bradley Bill, I feel like I can contribute to the skill set as he's in.
Now, when you look at a guy like that, he sort of had an uneven shooting coming out of college also, really developed into a high-volume scorer. So is that perhaps the kind of guy you look at and you say, hey, he did it, I can be that kind of guy, if not that guy?
Yes, sir. And that's just the confidence I have in myself and the things I'm capable of doing. I know I can shoot the ball. I know I didn't shoot well last year, but I still know I can still be able to shoot and be that type of guy on the next level.
And I know a lot of times they tell players, don't look at your projections, you know, feel who you are. But when you look at them and you sort of see that, does it surprise you that some people have you in the middle of the first round, maybe even a little lower, based on where maybe some of the initial projections were?
I mean, it really doesn't surprise me, but I mean, based off what they saw, I mean, that's what they're going off of. But I feel like it doesn't really matter where you get, what number you get picked, no matter what team and the fit and where you produce once you get there.
Have you set up any draft workouts with teams yet?
No, sir, not yet.
Did you meet with the Pistons here?
Yes, sir, I did.
How did that go?
I felt like it went really, really well.
Is Dwayne Casey in the room?
No, sir.
You're really good with your family. Would you say that's your inspiration for being at this level and doing what you're doing?
Yeah, I feel like they have a big part into being the man I am today. And one of the reasons I am playing this part is so I can be able to provide and help my family in the long run.
How have they helped you throughout this process?
They help me a lot, just being there for me. If I have any questions, I can go to them and talk.
Romeo, did you meet with Washington?
No, sir.
What would you say a common misconception about your game is?
Can you repeat that?
A misconception about your game?
I'll just say the love I have for the game and the passion, just because I don't show too much emotion out on the court. On the outside, doesn't mean I really love the game, which I actually do love.
The team's asking you about that.
Yeah, that's one of the common things I do.
Where do you feel like you grew the most over the last year from New Albany to IU?
I would just say my mental aspect of the game, and also just my defense. I felt like going in, one thing coach wanted me to do was be one of the best two-way players, and I felt like I improved a lot on my defense.
This could be a year where three Indian and Mr. Basketballs were all drafted. Is that something you thought about or considered or talked with Chris and Kyle?
No, I didn't even think about that.
You mentioned your shooting form and working on that. Is that something you kind of knew was going to need work, or were you kind of surprised when people started mentioning that to you?
I mean, I wasn't shooting the ball well, so if something had to be wrong, I just went to that.
You'd be more comfortable shooting off the dribble more than catch shoot. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah. Yes, sir.
So how would you go about improving the other
side? I just go to the gym working on it every day.
Who've been some of your mentors in the NBA through this process?
I can hear you.
Who have been some of your mentors? Whether it's players in the NBA, past or current, or any former Indiana players?
Well, just my family and then my trainers. I work with Coach Dion and John Vincenzi.
You do have the Pacers too.
Yes, I do.
Romeo, passion was something that people may question,
mm-hmm.
but obviously you have it because you're here.
Yes,
how do you show it?
I just think since now I guess you can say I'm under the radar now. I mean, growing up, I wasn't never really been underestimated or a low prospect, but I guess now I am. So now I gotta just earn my respect back, and I feel like wanting my respect back and fighting for these positions, fighting to be a higher pick, and I feel like that shows that I am passionate about the game and how much I love it.
Does it bother you that people question your passion for the game when it's something that you've grown up and that you know about yourself?
Sometimes I do, but I just got through it.
Does it bother you at all that unless you have a big bombastic personality, people think there's not passion? In other words, can you be a quiet person but be loud with your actions on the court? And does that bother you at all that people sort of want you to be louder or more effusive and yet you're showing a skill set?
I mean, not really. I mean, I'm not going to change myself. I mean, Dame Lillard doesn't really show too much emotion. He has his stuff face most of the time, but people don't question his passion. Stuff for the game, so it really doesn't bother me.
That is Romeo Langford from the NBA Draft Combine. I apologize, it's a little bit of a crowded area there in the media room. Not easy to get super great audio there in Chicago, but we did the best we could. But by the way, thanks to Untuckit for sponsoring Locked On Pistons. If you're looking for a great Father's Day idea, and I know you still are, their shirts are specifically designed to look great untucked and feel comfortable at work or on the weekend. No tucking or tailoring required. Go to untuckit.com, promo code NBA, to get 20% off. Now, Romeo Langford of Indiana University announced on Monday that he is staying in the draft after just one season with the Hoosiers. 6'6" guy, 6'11" wingspan, so checks the size boxes that the Pistons are hoping for, some bigger wings this offseason. He's got a thumb injury right now, not currently working out for teams, so he can't show off if he's working on or has improved that shot. That's such a struggle for him right now. I thought the most interesting analysis that I've seen so far about Romeo Langford comes from Jeremy Wu of Sports Illustrated, one of the best guys analyzing the draft, by the way. He said that we kind of have a situation overall in this draft where teams want athletic wings so badly that they are overlooking that some of these guys might not be very good players. And the three guys that he uses as an example as players who might be overvalued throughout this draft process are DeAndre Hunter of Virginia, who could be as high as number 4 in the draft and really hasn't shown that he's that caliber of player. Brandon Clark of Gonzaga, who was once undervalued in the draft, but now he's kind of overvalued in the draft, seeing him go into the top 10 now. And then Romeo Langford of Indiana, who is a guy who could sneak up into, you know, 10 or 11 or something like that, and certainly could be a guy that is available to the Pistons at 15. And really, Jeremy's premise, I kind of agree with it. But the problem for the Pistons is that they've neglected the wings so badly over these past several years, is that the wing situation for the Pistons is so bad on the roster right now that they might just be forced to get into this lackluster competition for these guys. Now, I saw the Detroit Bad Boys wrote about how the Pistons should take Bol Bol at 15, and I'm assuming, I didn't read that article, but I'm assuming along with that that you use pretty much every other resource this offseason, whether it be that mid-level exception and you know, maybe the biannual exemption as well, to, you know, kind of copy and paste and just put your finger in the dike as far as shoring up the wing positions for this next season for the Pistons with free agent veterans, because you need some guys on the wings. And I would agree that maybe because these wings are so overvalued that it might be a good idea to zag in this draft. But like we said, there's just got to be some sort of decent solutions ahead for the Pistons at the wing, because there was not over this past few years in terms of bigger wings, guys that can defend your Giannis's and your Kawhi Leonard's of the world. Stanley Johnson and Reggie Bullock were a couple of those guys, were the only representations of those guys the Pistons had. Obviously, they are gone now. But I'll reiterate this, and I'll say it, since I'm so down on this draft, if they like one of these guys a lot, then go up and trade for them. Go trade up. And I'm not usually a guy that talks about drafts in terms of trading up, but when you have such a bad draft like this and you only like 5 or 6 guys, which is entirely possible for front offices along with the Pistons, that might be a good idea. So my idea right now is still to trade up for a guy in the late single digits, and I'll reveal my plan on that as time goes on as we lead up to the June 20th draft. And by the way, we're getting our mock draft together for the Locked On Network. It's going to be a fun one. It's always a great show. But some more about Romeo. Here's some of what Jeremy says. Jeremy Wu of Sports Illustrated ultimately concluded that he's Romeo Langford is more of a late first-round guy, not a lottery guy. And he says, and I quote, "Sometimes I feel like the general demand for athletic wing players can cause us to overlook issues with players who fit that mold. Their projections can come with an added base layer of optimism, assuming that worst case, a prospect will develop into a rotation caliber body who can soak up minutes and defend his man. With Langford, that may well be the case. He's got all the tools to become a passable NBA player and enough natural ability to be better than that. He's pegged some of his struggles this season on injuries, make that of what you will. But ultimately, taking him in the lottery or even the first round is a pick that he feels more like it's based on his pedigree than it is on realistic projection," end quote. The jumper is a big question. In the 20s for his three-point shooting, doesn't look good. The handle needs to get better. Not good in transition, not much of a defender or a passer. So while, yeah, volume scorer, can finish strong, especially going to the right, there are some things to like about Romeo Langford, and maybe we pick apart a guy who was a McDonald's All-American and pretty much fizzled out in his 1 year at Indiana, disappointed. And it's a program that, let's be honest, it's one of those programs that you kind of like to pile on from the outside, right? They've had so much success. They've had the Bobby Knight thing. It's an easy program to kind of love to hate. So when a guy comes along that's got some real red flags, maybe it's kind of easy to throw up your arms and say there's no chance. So he's a guy who's getting a lot of scrutiny, that's for sure. But we'll see probably on June 20th what the Pistons feel about him if he's available for the taking at number 15. But we'll tell you once again, Himalaya, the best app out there for your podcasting platforms. It's free. It's super easy to use. Has every single podcast that you love and or searching for. The themed collection of shows to help with the podcast discovery. You can find everything from comedy to mystery, thrillers, and sports. Find and download Himalaya on the App Store or Google Play Store. And don't forget to follow Locked On Pistons once you are there. Up next, I'm going to give you my NBA Finals prediction. That's up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Today's show also brought to you by Grip 6 Ultra Lightweight with no holes, no flap, a great Father's Day gift for your dad. The belt, the Grip 6 belt has a special offer for you at grip6.com/lock, L-O-C-K-E. Again, grip6.com/lock, best belt in the business. I vouch for it. I have mine, and I wear it all the time, unfortunately or fortunately, based on my fashion sense and how you should follow it. But anyway, wanted to give out my NBA Finals prediction here as, like I said, not sure if we're going to have a show tomorrow. Certainly we'll have one either Thursday or Friday to end up the week. But the Warriors and the Raptors, now Toronto with home court advantage, first NBA Finals games outside the United States. That's going to start on Thursday night with Game 1. We got 9 o'clock starts for all the games that are outside of Sunday. All the Sunday games will start at 8 o'clock. I believe that's Game 2 and Game 7 that could possibly come down the pike. Again, the Raptors with the home court advantage. And the NBA has switched, as of a couple years ago, away from 2-3-2 back to 2-2-1-1-1 for the NBA Finals. So nothing unusual in terms of the matchup setups like we used to have when the Pistons used to go to the Finals, where it was just that strange 2-3-2 format. But no Kevin Durant for Game 1. Looks like he's traveling, so possibly could be available for Game 2. No inside information and nothing really gleaned from the reports about that quite yet. But Kawhi Leonard, looking like the best player in the NBA right now. Pascal Siakam has stepped up as a formidable number two for the Raptors this year. But, man, kind of rolling the dice on Fred VanVleet to stay hot or Danny Green to get hot. Norman Powell has played well at times throughout these playoffs as well. I just don't know if there's enough in terms of that 3, 4, 5 options that the Raptors have offensively. And obviously everyone on the Warriors, even without Kevin Durant, this is a team that's very proven, a team and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson not going to be afraid of the moment. I just do wonder about some of these Raptors players, complimentary players, if they're going to be ready for the moment. So, that's kind of my biggest question coming into this NBA Finals, and that's why I'm going to go with the Warriors. I mean, not much of a groundbreaking pick there. I will give the Raptors one of the games at home, so we're going to go with the Warriors by five. Warriors in five games to win the series and take yet another title, which I believe would be number 3 in a row and 4 in 5 years, if I'm correct here. But 5 straight trips to the NBA Finals, an unbelievable accomplishment for them. And we'll see what happens as the Warriors and Raptors will tussle starting Thursday night. Check out Locked On NBA, by the way. They had the local experts on with kind of a head-to-head predictions and analysis and whatnot. And also, obviously, check out Locked On Raptors and Locked On Warriors, as those shows will have you everything you need to know about the NBA Finals in addition to Locked On NBA throughout the NBA Finals, which should be a pretty good one. And it's nice to have, no LeBron James. It's nice to have a new team and a new market kind of involved. Our Canadian friends up there can enjoy a little bit of revelry in the NBA Finals. And like I said, maybe you can drive up there. Let me know if you're someone who likes to be around the atmosphere or maybe can check out some tickets for the NBA Finals. Nothing like going to an NBA Finals game. I know many of you guys went to some of the Bad Boys Finals in 04 and maybe 05 as well. I actually went to an NBA Finals game between the LeBron James Heat and the Kevin Durant Oklahoma City Thunder, Game 2, in that one year that they played each other in the NBA Finals there. But Himalaya is your free and easy podcast app. Has every single podcast you love or are searching for. Episodic shareable playlists is another great feature. Listeners can build podcast playlists by the episode, customize it just like you would a playlist for songs, and share it through social, texts, and emails if you want to be the one who is the tastemaker for all your friends of the podcast world. Find and download Himalaya on the App Store or Google Play Store. Don't forget to follow Locked On Pistons once you're there. This is your host of the Locked On Pistons podcast saying, by the way, when you get in your car, go ahead and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Pistons. Enjoy the NBA Finals if we don't talk to you before then, but we'll be back either Thursday or Friday with one more show this week. Hope you are enjoying our NBA draft profiles. Send along the feedback on Twitter at @Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. And yeah, enjoy the start to the NBA Finals. This is your host, Matt Schoch, of the Locked On Pistons podcast saying, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow or sometime soon.